وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته سيدتنا عائشة رضي الله عنها says in this narration narrated by the Imams of Hadith among them Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله لو أن أول ما نزل من القرآن لا تشرب الخمر لقال الناس لا والله لا نترك الخمر أبدا ولو أن أول ما نزل من القرآن لا تزنوا لقال الناس لا والله لا نترك الزنا أبدا ولكن كان أول ما نزل من القرآن سور المفصل فيها ذكر الجنة والنار حتى ثابت القلوب إلى ربها ثم نزل الحلال والحرام. This is a very important statement by Sayyidatina Aisha رضي الله عنها and it gives us an analysis of the human heart and how to deal with it. The question of how can I improve my iman is a question every sincere Muslim is concerned about. Everyone wants to raise their iman. Everyone wants to be a good Muslim. But we become weak. We want to be better than we are. But we fall short. And we always ask the question, how can I strengthen my iman? Aisha radiallahu anha in this statement gives us a clue of how to deal with the illness of weak iman. Aisha radiallahu anha, first of all, I'll translate the statement and then comment on it. Aisha radiallahu anha says, لو أن أول ما نزل من القرآن لا تشرب الخمر لقال الناس لا والله لا نترك الخمر أبدا. If the first command revealed in Quran, the first ayat revealed in Quran, we're telling the people to stop drinking alcohol, people would have said no. In the name of Allah, we're not going to stop drinking. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ لَا تَزْنُوا لَقَالَ النَّاسُ لَا وَاللَّهِ لَا نَتْرُكُ الزِّنَ أَبَدًا And if the first command revealed in Quran was stop fornication, stop adultery, people would have said no. In the name of Allah, we're never going to stop fornication and we're never going to stop adultery. ولكن كان أول ما نزل من القرآن سور المفصل فيها ذكر الجنة والنار. But the first ayat revealed in Quran were the surah of Mufassal. And surah Mufassal are the last surah in Quran which were revealed in Mecca. According to the Mus'haf, the last surah were revealed in Mecca. So she says, these were the first surah revealed in Quran. فِيهَا ذُكْرُ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ In these surah is the mention of Jannah, Paradise, and Nar, Hellfire. حَتَّى ثَابَتِ الْقُلُوبُ إِلَى رَبِّهَا Until the hearts went back to their Lord. ثم نزل الحلال والحرام. And then the halal and haram, the do and don't, was revealed. What does this mean? Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha is telling us her analysis of the human heart and her analysis of Iman and how to strengthen it. She says, if the first verses revealed to the new Muslims who just became Muslim in Mecca were stop drinking, stop zina, people, because of their attachment to these sins, would have refused. Why? Because their iman is weak. Yes, they may believe in Allah. Yes, they may believe that Muhammad is Rasulullah, but they are not yet ready for sacrifice and for giving up the entrenched traditions, norms, or habits. Because this needs sacrifice. It needs willingness to give for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this was not there yet. This is something that needs to be built up. And how is that built up? Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha said, it was through the ayat of Qur'an. And what were these ayat of Qur'an talking about? They were talking about Jannah and Nar. The constant reminder of paradise and hell would cure the good heart. The evil heart, nothing may work with it. وَيَّرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says about them, if they see every sign, they're not going to believe. This is in reference to the people of Fir'aun. Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent them sign after sign after sign. If there was any goodness in their hearts, these signs would have changed them. But because the heart is upside down, it's evil, nothing works with it. But the good heart, the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal would give it reminder. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, because reminder benefits who? Allah Azza wa Jal says it benefits the believers. It doesn't benefit the one who does not have belief in his heart. It benefits who? The believers. So this constant reminder of Jannah and Nar is the cure, is the answer for your question. How can I increase and strengthen my iman? Think about Jannah. Think about Nar. And don't restrict yourself. I mean, just think about it. Don't worry. You're not going to be committing anything haram by thinking about how good Jannah is or how bad Nar is. Even if your imagination turned out wrong, don't worry. That's not a sin. Because you may think that I'm going to have to stick with what was mentioned about Jannah and what was mentioned about Nar, and since I don't know that, then I'm not going to think about them. No. Don't worry. If you want to think about what interests you is being in Jannah, even though it's not mentioned in the Qur'an, no problem. Think about it. Because, again, if it's wrong, as long as you're not saying that this does exist in Jannah for sure, that shouldn't be a problem. Because remember, again, that in Jannah you can ask for anything you want. So even if this thing that you want, for example, a particular type of food or a particular candy or chocolate that didn't exist in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, yes, it's not going to be mentioned in Sunnah or mentioned in Qur'an, but you want to have it in Jannah. Well, when you get to Jannah, you can ask for it. Most likely you're not going to ask for it because you're going to find things that are much better, but if you're so addicted to it and so attached to it in dunya, then think about it, yes, I'll get it in Jannah. Now, again, going back to what we were talking about, the constant reminder, thinking, contemplating about Jannah and Nar does improve the iman. And we constantly need to be reminded about Akhirah, because Akhirah is not around us. What is around us is dunya. And therefore everything in dunya will remind us about what? It will remind us about dunya. So we need some outside reminder to come and remind us about Jannah, and that is Qur'an and Sunnah. This is an outside reminder that came from Allah Azza wa Jal to remind us about what will happen to us after death. And we have to keep that memory alive. حَتَّى ثَابَتِ الْقُلُوبُ إِلَى رَبِّهَا. Until the hearts went back to their Lord. and then halal and haram was revealed. And let's look at how swift the response of the Sahaba was, radiallahu anhum, to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Aisha just said if they were told to stop drinking, they wouldn't have responded to that command. Why? Because they were very attached to alcohol. When the command came down that alcohol is now haram, this happened in Medina. There were some Sahaba gathering and drinking. When the announcement was made in the streets of Medina, there were no loudspeakers in those days, so somebody needs to walk down these streets and shout to the top of his voice about the new revelation. So they heard the voice telling them that alcohol is banned. The one who had the jug in his hand let go of it. The one who had a cup that was moving up to his mouth threw it away. The one who had alcohol in his mouth spit it out. And the ones who already had it in their stomachs induced vomit. The streets of Medina were flowing with wine, with khamr. They didn't ask why it is haram. They didn't ask what's the wisdom behind making it haram. They didn't say, give us a second chance. Give us until the end of the day. Give us a month. This is going to harm the economy. Wine is good for your health. It was immediate response. No second thoughts. They immediately responded and alcohol came to an end. Why? Because the heart is full of iman. The heart is now willing to sacrifice and give up for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is what we want to do with our hearts. We need to be very concerned about our hearts. We need to focus and think about the status of the heart, because it is the most important organ in the body. If it is healthy, then the whole body is healthy. If it's not, then everything falls apart. So we need to check our hearts constantly and see how much are we willing to sacrifice for Allah. How willingly do we perform our duties towards Allah? How strong we are in our faith in Allah. We always need to keep checking, because remember the name qalb in Arabic has a derivative of taqallub, which is something that overturns or changes. Taqallubat is constant change. So this heart changes very fast. And if you don't keep constant check on your heart, it could change and take you down the wrong road. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us steadfastness. And that's why a very common dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. O Allah, who changes the hearts, keep our hearts firm on your religion. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make our hearts steadfast on Islam. So dear brothers and sisters, let's remind ourselves of Jannah and Nar. And let's do a comparison between Dunya and Akhirah. Let's do the comparison in four areas. The first area, we'll do a comparison in terms of time. The second area, we'll do a comparison in terms of quantity. Third area, we'll do a comparison in terms of quantity. And fourth area, we'll do a comparison in terms of purity. So let's then compare between dunya and akhirah in terms of time. How long are you going to live in dunya? 6 years? Probably. Some of us may not live until that age. None of us knows when the destined time would arrive. Some may live past 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. But after that, it's really rare for anybody to make it. So let's assume that the maximum lifespan that we would have is 100 or less. That's dunya. What about the akhirah? How long is it? 100 years will pass and you're still there. 1,000 years will pass and you're still there. 1,000,000 years will pass and you're still there. You will then hit the 1,000,000 year mark. You're still there. 1,000,000,000 years. 1,000,000,000,000 years. Keep on adding years. Keep on adding zeros. And it's never going to end. You're always there. You were created for eternity. Whether it is in Jannah or it is in Hellfire, it is eternity. Except for the Muwahideen, the believers, who go to Hellfire for a time before they're released to go back to their home, Jannah. So let's do a comparison between dunya and akhirah, ratio. To make a ratio between two things, you divide them. We divide the 100 years by infinity. That's how you get the ratio. So 100 divided by infinity is how much? What's the answer? Zero. The comparison of dunya to akhirah is zero. Dunya compared to akhirah is nothing. 100 divided by infinity is zero. Professor 1 will tell you zero, Professor 2 will tell you zero. Everyone will tell you zero. It's math. That's science. There's no difference of opinion. It's a matter of consensus between all mathematicians that 100 divided by infinity is zero. And that's what dunya is about. لو أن الدنيا تساوي عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى الكافر فيها شربة ماء. If this dunya was worth the wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah, Allah wouldn't have given the disbeliever a sip of water. So, dunya is nothing. And dunya in the eyes of Allah is nothing. It's not even worth a wing of a mosquito. Not two wings, one wing. If dunya was worth anything in the eyes of Allah, Allah wouldn't have given the disbeliever a sip of water. Because the disbeliever doesn't deserve to enjoy the blessings of Allah. Because he rejects Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal feeds him and he rejects Allah. Allah provides for him and he rejects Allah. Allah created him, bestowed blessings on him, and he rejects Allah. Therefore, the believer would not have been given anything if this dunya was of any value. And this hadith is to comfort the believer who sees that the kuffar, the disbelievers, are doing well in dunya. They may be enjoying it, while the believer may have hardship in dunya. So this hadith tells the believer, don't worry. This dunya is worthless and doesn't really mean much if the disbeliever is enjoying his life, is living in wealth, is living in health, is living in a stable society, is living in a modern society, is living in an advanced society. All of that is irrelevant, because at the end of the day, this dunya is not worth anything. So it's not worth being concerned about and worried about. This is the reality of dunya. So brothers and sisters, we are wasting our time for nothing. We are sacrificing for nothing. We are attached to nothing. That is what dunya is. It's nothing. But because we are here, we see it as being everything. When we move to the next stage, to the stage of Al-Akhirah, and we look back with hindsight, we would realize that this dunya was worthless. But it might be too late for many. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. The reckoning of people is near, and they are heedless. So the comparison of dunya to akhirah is zero to infinity. Therefore, we need to keep this in mind. And we need to realize that we are investing for nothing, giving up for nothing, sacrificing for nothing, while we should be investing for everything, giving for everything, and sacrificing for everything, and that is akhirah. Next, let's compare between dunya and akhirah in terms of quantity. How much could you own in dunya? If you do well, you work hard, you could buy a piece of land. If you are blessed with lots of wealth, you could own more than one property. Apartment building, a big house, different lots of land. But is there anybody you know that owns an entire neighborhood, let's say in London? Is there anybody that you know that owns a quarter of the city of London? Richest man in the UK or even in the world, does he own half of London? Do you think in the future there would ever be anybody who would actually own all of the city of London? Most likely not. So if the wealthiest, richest man in the world cannot even own one city, just one city, let alone could anyone own a whole country or own the entire planet. That never happened, and we don't foresee it happening in the future. So the richest of all men that would live on this planet Earth cannot achieve ownership of this planet. The best is that he would own some pieces of land, some property, here and there, but not more. What about in Jannah? How is the ownership of property in Jannah? Rasulullah ﷺ tells us the story of the lowest man in Jannah. And this is the one who comes out of hellfire the last. He's the last man to come out of hellfire. He's so happy that Allah Azza wa Jalla has saved him from hell. He thinks that Allah has not given anybody what He has given him. He's so happy with what Allah has given him. When he comes out of hellfire, he sees in the distance a tree. He asks Allah Azza wa Jalla and says, "Oh Allah, allow me to go under that tree so I can drink from its water and eat from its fruits." Allah Azza wa Jal would allow him, but would take a promise from him that he's not going to ask for anything more. So he gives that promise, and Allah Azza wa Jal allows him to go under the tree. When he reaches under the tree and enjoys the blessing of this tree, the fruit and the water, he sees another tree in the distance that is even better. And he says, "Oh Allah, allow me to go under that tree. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, O son of Adam, didn't you give me a promise that you're not going to ask for anything more? He said, O Allah, I promise you I'm not going to ask for anything else. That's the last time. So Allah Azza wa Jalla allows him to go under that tree. When he reaches under the second tree, he sees a third tree that's even better. See now, the reason why the trees are getting better is because we're getting further away from hellfire and closer to Jannah. So just getting away from hellfire and getting closer to Jannah, even though you're not there yet, improves these trees. So that's how blessed Jannah is. So Allah asks him and says, O son of Adam, didn't you promise me that you're not going to ask for anything else? He says, O Allah, this is the last time. I'm not going to ask for anything else. Just allow me to go under that tree. Allah Azza wa Jalla allows him to go under that tree. And when he gets under that tree, what does he see? He sees the walls of paradise. So he says, O Allah, allow me to go under the wall of paradise. Rasulullah is saying Allah is excusing him because he is seeing what he cannot hold himself back from. I mean, he's breaking his promise again and again, but he's doing it because he is compelled to do so because of the beauty of what he is seeing. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, O son of Adam, you promised. He says, O Allah, this is the last time. Just allow me to go under the wall of paradise. Not to enter it, just allow me to go under the wall of paradise. So Allah allows him to go under the wall of paradise, and when he gets there, he begins to hear the voices of the people of Jannah. Their laughter, their speaking. Just by just him hearing the voices of the people of Jannah, he can feel the pleasure and the satisfaction and the happiness that the people of Jannah are going through. So he says, O Allah, allow me to go in. And he cannot hold himself back. O Allah, allow me to go in. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, O son of Adam, what will satisfy you? Because he's been asking again and again and again, and every time he's saying, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. And I'm not going to ask for anything more. And Allah is giving him again and again. So Allah is now asking him, O son of Adam, what would satisfy you? What do you want in order not to ask me again? And then Allah Azza wa Jal, in one narration, would tell him, would you be happy to be given the equivalent of the entire earth and everything in it? SubhanAllah. We're talking here about a sinner. We're talking here about a man who was a man of sin, who just came out of hellfire, and is the last person to enter into paradise, and he is promised the entire earth, the equivalent of the entire earth in Jannah. Property the size of the entire earth. No matter how wealthy you are, no matter how strong and powerful you are, you cannot own the entire planet, and this man is given it just like that. And he is the last. He says, oh Allah, yes. I mean, would he say no? Would you imagine anybody saying no to such an offer? So he says, yes, that's enough. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, I will give you that. And equal to it. And equal to it. And equal to it. Meaning Allah is giving him the entire earth in Jannah. And then Allah is multiplying that by 2, and then by 3, and then by 4, and then by 5. 5 times the earth in Jannah. Now this servant of Allah is so embarrassed. He doesn't see himself deserving of that. He was just happy to leave hellfire. He knows his faults and mistakes. He knows the sins that he has committed in dunya. So he is feeling that this is way too much for me. And even though it was a free offer, he's not asked for anything back, but he is so embarrassed with it that he is trying to stop Allah, and when Allah has given him 5 times the earth and everything in it, this man says, Ya Rabb Radit, Ya Rabb Radit, Ya Rabb Radit. Oh Allah, I am happy, oh Allah, I am happy, oh Allah, I am happy. That's enough, I don't want any more. Allah Azza wa Jal tells him, I will give you that, I will give you 10 times the earth and everything in it, and then I will give you, on top of that, what would satisfy your heart and please your eyes. 10 times the earth. And on top of that, I will give you what will satisfy your heart and please your eyes. This is the lowest man in Jannah. In another narration, Allah will tell him, ask. Just ask what you want. So he will ask, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want... He's going through, he's thinking about everything that he wants, everything that he's going to need in his new residence. And then Allah will remind him, it says in this narration, that he will forget things and Allah will remind him. Subhanallah, Allah is the Kareem. Allah is the generous. I mean, this man is forgetting things and Allah is reminding him, ask for this, ask for that. فَإِذَا انْقَطَعَتْ بِهِ الْأَمَانِي. And when he asks for everything he wants and he cannot imagine anything more, Allah Azza wa Jal will give him everything that he asks and then multiply that for him. And he will enter into Jannah and will be visited by his two wives in Jannah. And when he sees them, what will he say? He will say, Allah has given me what he has not given anybody else. This man has no clue about what other people have in Jannah. But he thinks that he is the king. He is the best. When he sees his two wives coming into him and meeting him and greeting him, he says, Allah has given me what he has not given anybody else. That's the lowest in Jannah. What about the highest? Musa asked Allah that question. Allah Azza wa Jalla told him, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ غَرَسْتُ كَرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدِي فَلَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Those are the ones whom I planted their honor with my own hands. This is a custom-made special part of paradise that was made by Allah, created by Allah Azza wa Jalla himself. غَرَسْتُ كَرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدِي. I am the one who planted their honor. And in it are things that an eye has never seen, an ear has never heard, and a mind can never imagine. ثُمَّ خَتَمْتُ عَلَيْهَا. And then it was sealed. When Allah created this special portion of paradise, Allah sealed it so no one can see it, no one can hear about it, and no one can even imagine what's there. It's a surprise. It's a surprise for the good believers, for the best. Allah is preparing something for them that is a surprise. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of al-muttaqeen. So we talked about the lowest in Jannah. What about the lowest in hellfire? Rasulullah ﷺ says, إِنَّ أَهْوَنَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ عَذَابًا. The lowest in punishment is hellfire is a man who's standing on top of a coal that causes his brain to boil. So he's not completely immersed in fire. All what he's exposed to is one hot coal under his foot that causes his brains to boil. That's the lowest in hellfire. In another narration, the lowest punishment is hellfire. In hellfire is a man wearing shoes from fire that would cause his brains to boil. Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask this man, according to the hadith, O son of Adam, if I ask you to ransom yourself from hellfire with the world and everything in it, would you do so? He says, yes, O Allah. Now, he's willing to give up all dunya to ransom himself from hellfire. But when he was in dunya, he was not even willing to give small portion of his wealth. He was not willing to sacrifice a small portion of his time for the sake of Allah. And now when he sees the reality, he's willing to give up dunya and everything in it, if it belonged to him, just to get out of this minimum punishment in hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, Oh, son of Adam, I have asked you for much less than that. I didn't ask you to give up dunya and everything in it. I asked you much less than that. سألتك ألا تشرك بي شيئا. I asked you not to associate any partners with me. That's all what I wanted from you. All what I wanted from you, O son of Adam, is to say La ilaha illallah. All what I wanted from you is to worship me alone. I didn't tell you to suffer in dunya. I didn't tell you to go hungry until you die. I didn't tell you to inflict pain upon yourself. All what I told you is to worship me alone. And you refused that. So this is comparison of dunya and akhirah in time, in terms of quantity. This is dunya in terms of the quantity. Let's talk about dunya in terms of quality. What you own in dunya is dirt. The land is dirt, bricks are dirt, the mortar is dirt, everything is dirt. But in Jannah, the palace that you would own is a brick of gold and a brick of silver. And there is no dirt on the ground in Jannah, but there is saffron, there is musk, there is pearls. So quality is much different than what you have in dunya. And then a small piece of land that you would own in Jannah, how much is it valued at? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَمَوْضِعُ صَوْتٍ أَحَدِكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. The area under a whip in Jannah, and how big could a whip be? A foot by 1 inch? That area, the area of a whip in Jannah, is greater than the earth and everything in it. So such a small piece of property, such a small piece of property in Jannah is worth the earth and everything in it. That's how valuable property is. And remember, the lowest in Jannah is owning 10 times the earth. So you can imagine how much valuable property you have. Just think about how long it will take you to visit all of the land that you own in paradise. And this is not wasteland. This is land that is ready for you. The palaces, the gardens, the rivers, everything is there. Food, servants. So it's beautiful wherever you go. You're a tourist in your own land, visiting the property that you would have would take you a long time, because if, let's say that you have the money, the resources, and you have the time to go around the earth as a tourist, how long will it take you to cover an entire planet? And your country, if you want to visit all of the different sites in the UK, it will take you months and months to see them all and to see every part of the country. So how long will it take you if you want to visit the entire planet? Years. Now in Jannah, everything is worth seeing. I mean, a tourist in dunya would only go to specific places because this is what is worth seeing, but the rest, there's nothing there. And yet it will take a long time to do that. But in Jannah, everything is worth seeing. I mean, just a flower that you see in part of your garden is worth standing and contemplating its beauty for a long time. You have river of wine, river of milk, river of water, and river of honey. And then you have lakes, and you have the wildlife that is there, the birds. And then you have the palaces, and you have the whole scenery is just beautiful. So it will take you probably thousands of years to go around it. That is Jannah. And hellfire, the quality of life in hellfire. The quality of life in hellfire is that people are going to be burning in rocks and in their own flesh. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Allah says, the fuel of hellfire is rocks and people. They become flammable. and they burn. So everybody is burning each other. And rocks become so hot that they start burning. And you can imagine this narrow place where rocks are falling on top of people. So it's not only very painful and hot, but it's also constricted and narrow. Because Jannah is very vast and big, while Hellfire is very small. Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. The width of it is the heavens and earth, like the heavens and earth. That's the width, not the length. While with Hellfire, Allah Azza wa Jalla, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Hellfire would say, oh Allah, give me more, oh Allah, give me more, oh Allah, give me more. And when all of the people of Hellfire are already inside Hellfire, it is still hungry for more people, and will keep on asking for more until Allah, according to the hadith, would place his foot over Hellfire, so then it would shrink and would close, and no one would enter it. So it is shrinking from its original size, and it will be very narrow and constricted on people who are in there. So you can see the difference in quality between Jannah and Nar on one hand and Dunya. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to save us from Hellfire. Also, the fire itself in Jahannam, Rasulullah says it is seven. The fire that we have in Dunya is a portion of 70 portions of the fire of Hell. So the fire of Hellfire is 70 times hotter than the hottest fire we could have in dunya. So you can imagine, actually you cannot imagine how hot it would be in there. We ask Allah to seek refuge in Allah from Jahannam. And the type of food that is in Jahannam, Zaqqum, the type of drink, Al-Hamim, which is boiling water and boiling oil, that all shows you the quality of life in Jahannam. And when we describe Jahannam and Jannah, the words of Jibreel alayhi salam come to mind, where he said, when he saw Jannah after it was created and Hellfire after it was created, he said, I am amazed how someone would know about Jannah and sleep, and how someone would know about Hellfire and sleep. Somebody who wants Jannah, how can he sleep? And somebody who wants to run away from Hellfire, how could he sleep? I mean, you imagine what we are, every one of us, you included. Every one of us is heading towards that direction. We are heading towards the point, the moment, where we would be told to either go to Jannah or go to Hellfire. Every one of us will face that moment. Finally, we compare in the fourth area, and that is the purity. In dunya, there are blessings, so there's enjoyment, and there's also pain, suffering, punishment. But in dunya, everything is contaminated. There's nothing that is 100% pure. There's no pure quality in dunya. So food, which is a form of enjoyment, is contaminated. This enjoyment is contaminated, it's not pure. Because the food that comes in must come out. The food that you want to eat needs to be prepared, needs to be cooked, so it's a hassle. Yes, it tastes good, but there's a lot of effort that goes into making food that tastes good. And a lot of the foods that you like are the foods that are unhealthy. And you go to the doctor and he tells you to stay away from the particular things that you like. So, it's a blessing, but in the same time, there's some contamination. While in Jannah, it is pure. The food that comes in would come out of you in the form of sweat that is musk. The food, you don't have to spend any time in its preparation. It will be brought to you by your servants. It tastes much better than the food that is in dunya. There is no problems of cholesterol or diabetes or any other disease in hellfire. You can have as much greasy food, sugary food, sweet food as you like. And the enjoyment is pure. You're not eating over there out of necessity, but you're eating for pure enjoyment. While in dunya we eat out of necessity. Yes, we enjoy it, but it's necessary that we eat. In hellfire, on the other hand, the punishment is pure. So the food that they eat in hellfire is pure punishment. And what they drink in hellfire is pure punishment. In dunya, there is pain. There is fire that is painful. But we said that fire in dunya is much less painful than the fire in akhirah. So, in dunya you have low punishment and you have low enjoyment, but in Jannah you have high enjoyment and in Naar you have high punishment. Everything in akhirah is pure. And, for example, people enjoy khamr in dunya, but it causes headache, it could cause vomiting, it could cause loss of consciousness. But in Jannah, it is free from all of that. So whatever enjoyment you like in dunya, you would find in Jannah that is better and pure than dunya. And every punishment that you fear in dunya, you would find that in hellfire it is even worse. So brothers and sisters, constantly remind yourself about paradise and hellfire. Think about death. Rasulullah ﷺ says, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَدِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Frequently remember the destroyer of pleasure, and that is death. Think about the Day of Judgment, think about the reckoning, think about the scale, think about the resurrection. Think about the waiting on that long day. And then think about the final moments of entering into paradise or entering into hellfire. O Allah, we ask you to make us of the people of Jannah, and we seek refuge in you from hellfire. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا وَوَالِدَيْنَا عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ وَالنَّارِ يَا عَزِيزُ يَا غَفَّارُ صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.